Dardanelles, parched with the heat. Dear Nick, thanks very much for your interesting letter. I wondered where I would hear from someone at the office. Also, many thanks for your good wishes and congratulations on the marriage which I have conveyed to my wife. I am sure she will thank you very much indeed. Well, to tell you a little about our experience, we started off mysteriously one Sunday from Devonport on the captured German liner Der Flinger. Not a bad boat. The warrant officers had second-class quarters. It was all right. Food was very fair. Submarine pickets every night for one of our four companies. Lights out at 7 or 7:30. Stole by Gibraltar at night in fog, expecting to be torpedoed. We did reach Malta in due course after skirting the North African coast. Spent a day there, went ashore, and had a few drinks which needed being very hot. And then on to Alexandria for 3 days. Ashore every night. Not a bad place. Of course, the lower men didn't go, except for a route march on Saturday. Our movements were kept very secret. We couldn't find out what was to be done with our division. We then pushed to Port Said and had a day there. All of a sudden, we received orders to sail and soon found we were off to Gallipoli. As we were passing through the Aegean Sea, which is, as you know, full of pretty islands. Some hours before reaching Lemnos, the naval guns could be heard booming, and we ran into the magnificent harbour there, full of shipping and life. After a day there, we pushed to Imbros, 4.5 miles from Solva Bay. During the afternoon, they treated us to a naval shelling of Akar Baba, which is really the other side of the peninsula. But they shoot over the hills and mountains here. It was a fine sight, and many of our chaps went sick at once. At night, our good ship made for the Anafata Bay, where a new landing had been effected 2 days before. 900 rounds, 4 days' rations each, as much as a man is expected to carry, and they dumped us over the side in lighters at 7 a.m. A short journey through the boom defences, and we were ashore, waiting for someone to turn up. Bivouacked on the beach, and we were put on unloading lighters till about 10. When the Turks spotted us, they started shelling. 2 men killed, and 4 wounded to start. Then we lost a few more, wounded during the day, although naturally we took cover where we could and when we could. I had 1 or 2 near me whilst getting a timber out of a hold of a lighter, but managed to dodge them all right. At night, my company received orders to take picks and shovels into the firing line, which was about 5 miles away, halfway up Chocolate Hill. Well, Nick, the 10th was soon in the thick of it once more, as we advanced across the Salt Lake in extended order. Rifle fire, now we had to dodge, and many of our chaps got hit rather seriously, I've since found out. I was glad of a rest at the foot of the hill, but had to push on again and deliver the goods. After feeling about in the dark for some time, our guide led us in single file up behind the firing line. We were laid down, bullets whistling round, and we managed to escape them. The enemy were yelling for all they were worth, and I was glad when our captain ordered us once again to go down the beach. This took some time and hours, and we reached the place. The other 3 had gone up to reinforce the firing line, so up we went again the next day about 6 p.m. Nearly all things are done here in the dark, as we are in plain view. We again advanced across to take from Lala Baba. My heels were nearly raw through new boots, and I eventually had to rest for a fortnight later on. Well, on our right was a hill burning furiously, with many a chap caught in the flames and so perishing. We finished on rather a feathered bed and did not find the company till the next day. It was night. We were all parched with the heat, no water. Dried up and had to dig ourselves in. It's no light job, this hiding, being like an ostrich till you make a hole large enough to get into and make yourself head cover. Yours sincerely, George.